Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Doug Show. My name's Doug Cunnington, and this is part two of the interview with Matt Giovannisi. We talk about Swim University, so this is just a continuation of that interview. In part one, I told you about my new podcast, Ranking Revolution. I'll put a link to that. You can go check out the website, see if episodes are indeed available or not, depending on when you're listening to this or if it'll be coming out in a couple days. And you can sign up for the email list so you'll be notified when shows are released and just the progress. I teased you last time and said I had this plan to launch the show with like 20 or 30 episodes, take advantage of like downloads and the algorithm and, you know, try to really like launch the show because I have the ability to bank up a bunch of shows and then launch it all at once. I ran into a couple issues. One, I caught a cold. It lasted like 2 weeks. My voice is still recovering and it was a mess. I got pink eye. It was a whole thing. And I was taking medicine and I was all loopy and tired for a couple weeks. So that threw things off. I had to cancel a bunch of interviews and folks rescheduled with me and all this stuff. The other thing is Google rolled out the March core update and it's going to take like a month to roll out. I've done a handful of interviews, like 5 or 6 or 8, I can't remember, but I've done a handful of interviews. Some of the conversations, you know, it doesn't really matter. We talked a little bit about the helpful content update, but we didn't talk too much about like anything specific right now. So we didn't talk about like an update that we didn't know was going to roll out yet. So anyway, there's all this discussion right now about the March core update. And I see people with, I mean, basically no one knows what the hell's going on, right? No one knows what's going to happen with the update. There's multiple systems involved and people are just speculating. They're talking about the documentation that Google has released. So there's no real information. And the thing is, people are still watching and they're interested. They want to hear about it. People love to see a train wreck too. There's, you know, one group of people that published a bulk AI content and they're very impacted. And then there's another set of people that didn't publish bulk AI content. And now they're happy to see that the AI content is falling off the face of the earth and people are being de-indexed. So it's a whole crazy scene right now. And I feel pressure, number one, to release the episodes that I have recorded because they were very relevant when I recorded them like just a few weeks ago. But as time goes on, I'm not sure, some of them may not age as well. There's an interview that I did with Ricky Kessler from Income School. And we talk about niche sites and content sites. And we talk about the helpful content update. We're like, oh, there probably is going to be an update in the future. Well, we're seeing the update happen right now. So if I hold it for too long and have like a big launch, then some of this stuff is going to be more irrelevant. So I want to get it out quick. And the other thing is, while people are interested in hearing all this conversation, it's a really good opportunity for me to take advantage of that. So I'll tell you a little bit more about that in the intro for part three. So if you haven't listened to part two of the interview, if you haven't listened to part one of the interview with Matt yet, check it out. It's on the podcast players. It's on YouTube. And this is part two. There will be part three and you can check that out. And again, I'm just experimenting with dividing up a very long conversation into a couple shorter ones. So be sure to check it out. Here's the continuation with Matt Giovannisi from Swim University. He still has a site over at Money Lab as well, and you can check out his podcast too.
They're not setting aside money for taxes. They're overspending when things are when they're flush, and then they're ruthlessly cutting when things aren't.
Yeah.
And the thing is like you have to learn.
Yeah.
To control it all, like they're in the ups and downs, and. It's like, I don't know why I always bring this up, but it's like a teacher's salary. Because I used to date a teacher and she told me once that she had a choice as a teacher to get, and I don't know if this is true for every teacher, by the way. So I don't, I just know this one person told me this, that you can choose to get paid for 12 months, right? So that you get lower paychecks over 12 months, or you can just do the 8 months and get bigger paychecks. And she said a majority of teachers take the 8 months because they want the bigger paycheck. And then they end up going and getting a summer job to kind of, you know, fill out the rest of the time. And I thought that was so, I thought that was a, like, stupid. I'm like, why wouldn't you want the, why would you spread it out so that you don't have to work in the summer? You're, yeah. But you're not getting paid as much, yeah. You know? So it's the same thing of like, well, I don't want to do, I don't want to contribute to a 401k because I'll make less money in my paycheck. I'm like, yes, but your future self will thank you.
Right.
You know? And it's hard. I get that, you know, but it's, that's the kind of shit is like, I make the same money in May that I make in January because we cash flow management.
Right. Yep. And it's such a simple thing, but yeah, people get ahead of themselves. And just to be super explicit for the people that didn't quite follow along, like what happens is you have a bill due in whatever, December, mm-hmm. for whatever, a supplier, vendor, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you can't make the payment and then you go under, you go bankrupt.
Because yeah. You
can't
or you have to ride debt, yeah. which ends up costing you more money than it would have, you yeah. know, otherwise.
Yeah. yeah. Okay. So HCU hit, mm-hmm. you weren't totally surprised. We have a question here from Marcus. What strategies does Matt use to overcome the difficulties caused by HCU? And secondary question about AI and mm-hmm. how you use it. So okay. yeah, what are your strategies to overcome HCU?
We are still writing content. Like that is still happening. I think it will come back. Mm-hmm. So I'm not giving up on Google. I'm not saying like, oh, screw it, you know, we're done. No, quite the opposite. I think a lot of people will think that and I will just eat their lunch when they give up, which is fine. Again, like we've been doing this for so long. I've seen all the ups and downs. So I know, you know, it's the long-term hold, right? So we're staying the course there. We are sort of shifting the priority of how we create that content. So we've adopted a video first model essentially of content creation where we create the videos first and then they become the articles, right? So we write scripts to create long form, specifically long form, because that converts for us.
How long?
Like,
yeah, what do you consider long form?
Oh, anything over 3 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess anything, really anything over 60 seconds and, okay. and horizontal, okay. not vertical. So we do a video every single week. And then sometimes those videos become articles. And then the other thing we're doing is we're also writing articles when they're needed. We're also updating articles when they're needed. We are finding new traffic sources to get people to those articles because the articles themselves convert, right? They convert to leads and to sales. But, you know, Google's not sending us that traffic. So we just need other places to send that traffic. So those sources have been Facebook, Pinterest. We've been doing ads, running ads directly to content.
Mm-hmm. From which platforms?
From Facebook and Facebook, Instagram, and Google. We have not done YouTube ads yet, but that is definitely something I want to do this year. And, you know, basically social media and, you know, other organic platforms like that and paid platforms to content. Also email. So this year, we are sending like 3 emails a week to our content as like a helpful, you know, because we have a huge newsletter, a huge email list, and that's the one thing that they can't touch, really. So we're just sending our same folks back to our website. And again, in the hopes that, you know, if Google decides they fix stuff and it comes back, bonus. Mm-hmm. But I'm not relying on that.
Okay. And sort of on top of that, Peak 195 asks that Google Organic seems to probably be your most successful source up until HCU.
It still is.
And does email marketing play a big role? And it does. But can you give us a percentage of like the sales and revenue attributed to email, if you can estimate?
I would say a third.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
I'm just looking at this month so far.
Are you earning revenue from your email list aside from selling your own products, or?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
I have to assume yes. So we obviously make, well, it's not obvious, I guess. We have affiliate, we do affiliate marketing as well, because we don't sell every product known for pools. We just sell a handful, and the rest of it we recommend, and it's through Amazon and other platforms. And so we are sending traffic from our email list back to those articles. So I assume that that is generating revenue that wouldn't have been there otherwise, because those people are buying those products. Can't track it. Not worth tracking. I've ever since 2018 when, or was that whatever year that Amazon thing went, was the first one, not the second one, the first one. I've basically said that is bonus for us. Right. And so I keep feeling that way. I keep thinking like, all right, well, if you're going to screw me, I'm not going to stop, but I'm just going to consider you bonus. So now I have to focus into something else. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's email is like, I'm mainly selling my own products. And so the number that's in my head for February, I know that number, that revenue number, because it's in I use Klaviyo for email marketing now. And it shows me that, like, how much money was contributed from email marketing.
Okay.
And so I'm like, oh, okay, I know that number. I know what my revenue is for the month.
Okay, gotcha. And you don't have to share this. Like, what is the revenue number, since you were just looking at it, so to give people an idea of the scope?
This month, we're at 20,000, and about, I think it's like 6,000 or 7,000 came from email specifically. And we ran no sales this month. So, and only because we ran a really big sale in January, and we were able, and again, like, even though our traffic was down 50% in January, our revenue stayed the same. And I contribute that to the shift in focus of like, okay, we're going to send more emails. We're going to, you know, sell our products a little bit better. We're going to, you know, build better landing pages. We're going to run better ads, all those things.
I was listening to a Morgan Housel podcast, and I think this is in his books too, but he cited the Great Depression as a time when American businesses got super efficient.
Like, yeah,
huge gains, because there was no other choice. It's like, you go out of business, you put food on the table, you figure it out, right? Yeah. So it was only through like
constraint.
Yeah, yeah. Issues, constraint, decline, like, you're fucked. Like, basically, you're fucked unless you figure it out. And then when it does come back, right?
Then you're in a good position.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, you've increased conversions conceivably, right?
Yep. And which, again, it's been almost 20 years. And even before that, again, I was in the pool industry. We've had our ups and downs. We had a huge boom in 2004. I don't even know what caused it back then, but that was like, the pool industry was like, they were spending.
Really?
Oh, well, yeah.
I wonder if it was like coming out of the .com bubble.
Must have been.
Something like that.
And then, or like we had,
And September 11th and stuff. Like,
And I get, you're right. Maybe a lot of people like just had, there was just a lot of good cash flow that was hovering around. I don't know. The economy must have been good. Because when the economy is good, usually luxury leisure products sort of flourish. And we are technically in that period, but comparing it to when everyone was home,
right?
It's very different, you know?
Yeah.
Luxury, I could say, make the argument like luxury products, like when the economy is good. I worked for one season at a luggage company. Mm-hmm. And it was, I worked there right before, like, I got fired or let go right after the Phillies won the World Series in 2008, October of 2008, because the economy crashed and literally people just stopped buying luggage because, you know, it's a luxury good. And again, in the pandemic, no one's traveling, but it's still a luxury good. even, you know, it's like now I bet you luggage is doing really well because you're allowed to travel again and the economy is good. And that's like the perfect thing. Whereas if the economy is good and everyone's forced to stay home, that's a great boom for the pool industry.
Yeah.
You know, it's like staycation. It's what your staycation and I have the extra money. So like that's what happened to us. I don't know what 2004 was, but that's just an interesting, like,
yeah.
Again, like I've seen
these
the ups and downs. And again, the pool industry, they spend money. They spend a lot of money when things are good and they don't know how to, they still don't know how to manage their money.
This question is from Jack Barton. I've always admired how Matt has really been committed to just one audience for a long time. I would love to hear his thoughts on how and why he stays committed to just pool and hot tub owners and what keeps him from writing about everything in the pool space when he could clearly dominate the SERPs.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think that's accurate. I mean, I think that's what you see. That's not true because I've written articles about how to have sex in a hot tub. I've written articles about, or at least not how to get pregnant in a hot tub.
All these are on your OnlyFans, right?
People this is all behind the paywall.
OnlyFans.com/MoneyLab.
That's right.
Someone's going to sign that.
I know, There's a, like I used to write articles. I was writing articles to sort of like, the way I approached it or the way I thought about it was like, I'm just going to spray as much as I can to hit anybody who could possibly own a pool. And it worked. Ton of traffic, no conversions. And that, so that experiment, I went, okay, it's not worth writing like top 10 workouts to do in your pool or how to meditate in a hot tub or, you know, how to recover from a workout in a hot tub. And like all of these like health sort of adjacent things that I'm like, I realized, oh, anybody that can use a pool or a hot tub will like these articles, not necessarily people who own them. Mm-hmm. And at the time, the products that we were selling were for pool owners, not for anyone else. And so I thought, well, this is kind of stupid. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yes, I could, you know, we could expand into like backyard patio furniture stuff. And but I just felt like the only audience I've ever known in my whole life was people who own pools. And I that's just a, it's an audience that I know intimately because they were all my friends' parents. So when I was a kid, all my friends' parents would come to a 13-year-old boy for advice. And that power has never left. Like I have the power. does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Locked in at 13 years old.
Yeah.
I
realized that like our parents are not superheroes. They're kind of fucking idiots and they don't know how to take care of a pool.
It's just a drunk wearing a cape.
Yep. That's it.
Okay. So in the, I think that was a Jonathan Katz joke. Do you remember that comedian?
You mean the, like Dr. Katz?
Yeah. Okay. Or was that David
Attell? Oh, was that Dave Attell?
A Dave Attell joke.
Or Dave Attell or Dave Chappelle?
Attell, I think.
Attell.
Yeah. Okay.
From that show, from Dr. Katz.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's right. Really deep cut from like 1999 or something. Okay. So I had a couple thoughts here.
Mm-hmm.
You have stuck to one audience. I will say, you know, just to correct Jack a little bit, you had the side projects.
Oh, so
you did a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
And like even when looking back, perhaps you could have or should have focused more on Swim University, you were working on other stuff, spreading yourself thin, putting a lot of time into like Money Lab, the community for a couple years and all that. However, you did stick with Swim University.
It's always been a thing. Yeah.
And it is hard to stick with it and focus. Now, my question here, which could spread things a little thin, you never ran ads on Swim University, which is fine. Like you were trying to sell your own.
Oh, you mean like display ads?
Display
on
ads,
the site.
Correct.
Yeah, correct.
So one thing, I'm actually going to test this out. I'll tell you afterwards so people don't screw up my little test here. But there is a strategy where you know the industry.
Mm-hmm.
You could have started another site where it basically had all these informational articles,
mm-hmm.
and you knew the industry, so you could just run ads over there to keep Swim University clean. Pristine and mm-hmm. clean, no ads, good experience, and then have other side projects that are kind of accessories to, and really have a media company, but have like four websites that all focus on pool stuff.
Yep.
And you just own the SERPs. Like you could actually have some of the content that you ran on Swim University on the other sites too and earn whatever revenue you want from there. So why didn't you spread in that area instead of just, you know, Brew Cabin, Roasty, like the other stuff?
Niche fatigue.
Okay.
That's the simple answer. Like I have no passion for pool and hot tub care. Like it's something I've always done. I like being good at it. I like building and designing things for the audience, but I'm not in bed at night reading books about pool care or, you know, 'cause they don't exist, but also like it's not my free time. I'm not having a good time with it. But personal finance I was, and brewing I was, and you know, coffee I was. And so it's just like, okay, Swim University is my job. It's my day job. And then these other things are my passion projects. And so having a side project that doesn't feed a passion just feels like more job.
Mm-hmm. It was a break.
Yeah, it was more of a break. And again, like the only business that I ever started that I thought would be bigger than Swim University was Monty Lab. It's the only one where I was like, oh, this could technically be bigger than Swim University if I wanted it to. I still believe that, but I got out of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which leads us to another question here. So this is from Handerling, something like that. How is Matt doing since focusing on just one thing? So, and you can catch us up to speed. So you were working on a few things.
Yeah.
Talk about the process to whittling it down to just working on Swim University.
Oh, there was a day. So I'm constantly trying to simplify. That's like the thing that I always like doing in every single part of my life. And I am very conscious of work-life balance. I like working, so I work a lot. But I also I don't like to be dependent on, I don't like things, like, it's why I don't have a clock-in job right now. Because it's like, I don't want to have to be dependent. If I want to sleep in that day, I want to be able to do that. I want to have that freedom. There's a day where I think I might be going off topic. What's the question again? It's like, how am I doing?
Yeah, since focusing on one thing, but I want you to talk about
the shift,
because you were working on several things.
Yeah, like okay. So last year, I was working on Money Lab and technically Brew Cabin and Swim University, and I had made the decision early in the year, like around January of 2023, to focus 100% of my effort on Money Lab, because I thought that's going to be what I do for the rest of my life, because I don't think I can do pools for the rest of my life. And then I kept hearing the advice of, you know, do one thing, focus on one thing. You can grow one thing. I heard Miles Beckler talk about it. I saw like clips from, there was like an Alex Hormozi clip that resonated with me, which was just like, you could have all these businesses and they could all do well, which is what I used to say. But if you just did one thing, it could do really well if you put all your effort into it. So I resonate with that. And I picked Money Lab. And then I remember where I was in this moment, because it was only last year, sitting at my counter and I was eating. And I thought, what if it was Swim University? Like, what if I flipped it?
The one that's making like 10x
more. The one that's making 10x more. I'm like, if I did that, maybe that's the move. And then I said that out loud to Steph, and she's like, yeah, duh. And I was like, oh, right. And here, you know, because it's like in my head, I wanted to build something new over here, because that's what my creative energy needs, that outlet. And then I went, all right, we'll take that same energy and dump that and put it all over this thing because maybe you can get it to 20x in less than a year or whatever the case, you know. And I also thought, wow, that's actually way easier because I'm not as affected mentally by its performance and by the content that I would write a piece on MoneyLab. And if someone poked a hole in it or questioned it, I would personally fall apart because I'm like, well, no, I thought about this. Like I tried really hard to make this thing and I put a lot of energy into it and somebody went, you're an idiot or whatever. I'd be like, maybe I am an idiot. And it started to make me think, wait a minute. I'm going to go over here and teach business. I should put if I were teaching myself business, I would be like, Matt, stop starting all these other things. Go do that one thing. And so I thought I have to, like, I would be a fraud if I did this, if I continue to do this, because my advice to myself would be go do Swim University instead. And then, yeah, here I am doing this. And it's like, well, then why are you doing this? And it's like, money. It's like, yeah, all right.
And I think, so very interesting. I have some thoughts, but...
But also, real quick, just to add to that, the Swim University content, it's technical. It's fact. I write it, and that's what it is. No one can poke... It's not based on a feeling or emotion or a philosophy. Mm-hmm. So it's science. So it feels very... It feels a lot more concrete. I'm not attached to it as a human being. It is not based on opinion. It's just based on a process. And so I'm like, if somebody does question me on it, I'm willing to, I'm like, I'm stoic about it. It's like, oh, gotcha. You have a good point. Yeah, let me rethink that, you know?
That wraps up part two for the interview with Matt Giovannisi. Be sure to check out the other parts. I think you probably already checked out part one, but part three is out there. And if you have a chance, head over to Ranking Revolution to sign up for the email list so you'll be notified when I launch, when new episodes come out, all that stuff. So thanks a lot. We'll catch you on the next episode.